Hello and welcome to our first Hellas football podcast. I'm George and I'll be one of your hosts. So the plan for this podcast is to talk about Greek football from the top to the bottom and everything in between, ethnic girl mother, Greeks abroad, the latest news, all the stuff that goes on in Greek football, as we all know, the good stuff, the funny stuff. And it's a bit of banter in between as well. So we're not going to take ourselves too seriously. So, but we want to get all the information out just as much as well. All right. What I'm going to do is I'll introduce everyone. That's part of our very first episode. So I'll start with Greg. Hey, Greg, how are you? Greg.
Yes, sorry about that. Yeah, great to be here. Great to be on board. Loving it.
So listen, guys, if you don't know, Greg is actually a football journalist, and he was the former editor of the Australian and British Soccer Weekly magazine, obviously before the internet came and everything off. He's also a big AIC fan, so we won't hold that against him, but hey, what a So how's things, Greg?
Things are good. There's been a lot of action for both AIC, the national team, and everything. So plenty to talk about, plenty to get through, and looking forward to doing this as often as possible. And given the Greek audience, the Greek, you know, especially the Morganese, a new platform to sort of hear and talk about Greek football.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Yeah. All right. Thanks, mate. Next on the list here, we've got Nico. He is one of the craziest, most passionate Panathinaikos fans I've ever met. He's told me where to go many times. I think I've told him where to stick it many times, but he's one of the best guys you'll ever meet. Nico, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. How are you tonight?
Yeah, good, man. Yourself? What's happening?
Good, good. Thrilled to be on. Long overdue.
It has been. No, we've talked about this for a long, long time.
At least 3 years or so?
At the very least. Yeah, so no, it's also... all good, mate. All right, we'll keep going there. Stephen, he's our...
Hello there.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I've literally just got up, and because of the time zone differences, but I'm good, thank you, man. Yeah.
That's the crazy thing. This is how this podcast is going to work. We've got guys from all over the world all getting together. Some of us have to do it after work. Some of us are doing it in the middle of the night. We'll get to that person later. And we've got Steve, who just got it rolled out of bed a couple of hours ago. Yeah, I'll introduce him. Steve is a budding actor. He's a Greek Cypriot, Cypriot Greek, I should say. Sorry, I don't want to get that wrong.
I don't know if it works either way, but yeah, I'm happy, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to keep, we're all keep ourselves all close together. Giant Biakos fan. And he will also be one of the co-hosts on this show from time to time. So good to have you on, mate. How's your morning been?
Yeah, I'm really excited to get this going. It's such a cool thing to be part of an actual podcast, and I'm really hoping for the success of it for sure.
Perfect, perfect. And last but not least, our man from LA. It's 1 a.m. for him as we speak, and he's up and he's pumped up ready. Antoni, how are you?
Good, good. I'm glad you guys are having me on. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic. Now, if you don't know Antoni, he's a historian. He knows everything about anything Greek, and he also knows anything and everything about Panathinaikos. So he's your man. He's got himself a little Instagram account with Bao History as well, so I can let him talk about that later on. But yeah, he's a very passionate Panathinaikos fan. What's been happening, Antoni? How are you going? Are you half asleep, bud?
Not yet.
perfect. All right, we'll kick on then. Myself, I'm just a rusted old Olympiacos fan. Passed on from my dad. So, yeah. And I'm just me. So, anyway, we'll roll on. So, look, we're going to have other guys that join in from the Hellas football team from time to time with the time differences as well. Antoni or Stephen might be running the show, but it'll all work out perfectly. All right, so what we want to do, it's going to be a short episode today. Just we want to introduce ourselves, and as things flow on, the episodes will go and grow, and we look to do them weekly. So the first topic is a Super League wrap. Now, what we'll do, we'll go through the games as we usually do. We'll check out the scores, see what's happened, anything that we want to talk about, and we'll go from there. So, first game, anyone want to talk about any game in particular, or do you want me to just roll through it?
I would just... Yeah? Sorry, Nigel, you go first.
Yeah, guys.
Just roll through them, game by game.
Perfect. All right. So, first game, Volos Yanina, 2-1 to Volos. Yanina are actually up 1-0 at halftime and got run down with the journeyman, Wada, getting a late, 77th minute winner. Not much, really. Two teams. Anyone want to jump in on this one?
Look, I saw the highlights of this game, and it was actually quite an entertaining game. Yanina scored a great goal with Pamlidis, who's actually someone to keep an eye on because he's been scoring some nice goals this season. So he looks quite consistent and something possibly exciting for the future. Wada actually had a disallowed goal when Yanina was up 1-0, which was a bit of a rough call from VAR, but you could argue that it was a fair call as well. And then Volos did exceptionally well to get back in. They had some great chances. What impressed me was just up and down the game was. It was a pleasure to... the highlights didn't stop. It was constantly up and down. But Wada actually really showed his worth at the end of it and got the winner for Volos. So two teams to keep an eye on. They played really good football.
Yeah, that's a thing with them. And Volos actually, they're on 10 points. They're coming equal second with the Olympiacos. Something to see. A great start to the season for them. They've actually, I think they've recruited well this year as well.
That's exactly what I wanted. Yeah, I'm amazed Greg didn't bring it up. So did his Ninis.
He came on for a little bit. We're still waiting for him to make play more games, a bit more impact, but it was a start. He wasn't even in the squad in the first few games. He was in the squad last week, but didn't play at all. But finally in the squad this week against Yanina, and finally had some minutes. So hoping to see his minutes increase each week.
How do we think they'll go this season, Volos? Like second season syndrome, or like
no? I think they can make the top six. They recruit well. They're so underrated. And I know they're a new club. They don't have a great amount of history, and people sometimes hold that against them. But the reality is that they've brought in quality players from abroad. They're not bringing in players from abroad who are quite second rate. They're players that make a difference in this league. And you'll see it in their results. So keep an eye on them. I think there's a fair bit to come out of them. If Ninis can hit some type of form with them as well, with Wada, that's a hell of a combination. And then you've got the other guys around them, Ferrari and Perez and a few other guys. It's not a bad team.
Steve, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, even after I looked at the table once all the fixtures have been played, I was surprised to see Volos so high. The fact that they've got the same amount of points as Olympiacos is, credit where credit's due to them. They haven't scored many goals in the first few games of the season, but they're playing some good football. And like Greg said, they have some decent players, and they are definitely pushing for potentially finishing in the top six and going into the playoffs and maybe even getting into the UEFA Conference League next season. And they could even compete in that, despite the fact, they may not have a lot of players with that much European experience. But, it's a really, really good good start for them. And they're a surprise for me, certainly, to be this high in the league so far this season.
Yeah, perfect. All right, we'll move on to the next game. Aris got up 1-0 over Apollon, which was, they're the table top. They're on top of the table now on 13 points. They've had another great start to the season, considering they bombed out of European football early on in the piece before. So, and they've had, changes and lots of people, the technical director, what was his name again? I've had a mind blank. Paddy Stouse, he moved on. Coach moved on, so they've changed. They've got, their season has kicked off well in the Super League. And anyone want to take a lead on that one? Stephen?
Yeah. Bruno Gamba is looking like a great player for Aris this season. Like, I think he's in, like, I think he's either second or third in the top scoring charts right now. And they're still top of the league as well. I know Olympiacos have a game in hand, but they've had such a good start to the season. And, you know, they may not, maybe they won't push for the league in the latter stages, but, you know, they're, if they're giving themselves the best possible chance to win their first title in, like, I can't even remember when. I think it was even the early stages of, like, the Panhellenic Championship.
That's right.
Like, even earlier, like, that's so long ago. And it would be a massive, massive upset for Aris to even push for the title this season.
Yeah. Look, I think with Olympiacos game in hand, you know, you still got to win those games. So they're rightfully on top of the league and they deserve to be where they're at.
Are we forgetting their collapse in Europe?
No, we're not. No, I think that's probably their saving grace because they humiliated themselves. Well, not humiliated themselves, but, you know, they had the team, they recruited well, and they just didn't get it right when it mattered. So maybe they're trying to right all their wrongs now in the league, and they've started off well.
That's how I see it, because I've forgotten already how badly they exited the Europa League. It was such an embarrassing, like, kind of exit for them. The team that they played, they should have got past. There was no way they should have lost to the team that they did. And you know, maybe they are trying to make up for it. You know, they've had a lot, like you said, they've had a massive squad overhaul. They sacked the manager. Charisteas has gone. So, yeah, I mean, if this is a way for them to make up for it, if they could even put, like I said, if they can push for maybe even the cup and push to maybe finish in the top, certainly they'll be in the top six this season, no doubt, for the playoffs. But, yeah.
All right. We'll move on. Olympiacos 4, Atromitos 0. I can kick that off, seeing as Olympiacos in my team. 0 or draw at half-time. Atromitos did have a player sent off. I personally think it was a deserved red. I know I'm probably going to cop it for saying that, but upon inspection from the VAR, it was a unnecessary high foot in the back of the ankle there. So, and then second half blitz, El Arabi getting his well-deserved hat-trick. So he's starting to get some good goal-scoring form as well, which is good to see for us with Champions League coming up. So, yeah, look, I thought they played well, deserved win. We move on. I think they had their eye on, you know, hopefully they got their eye on, you know, Marseille coming up. Yeah, Anthony.
You know, it's early days, and I had predicted that Ike was going to win the title before the season started. But the way Olympiacos is playing, I think they're going to win the double. That was a statement game.
It certainly was. And there was a few. Was it Lavera where he took on the whole team and kind of didn't pass it, then El Arabi got it and then put it in the top left corner. So I think the team is progressing well. Martins has shown to be a very smart coach, in my opinion.
Very good coach.
Stephen.
Yeah, with Lavera, he really needs to do that more often this season, because last season we saw flashes of what he is capable of, and I think it's also down to the lack of game time that he got, because obviously, you know, he's competing with Fortunis, Valbuena, Mazuras, like, to play on that kind of attacking, like, in the attacking half of the pitch, and yeah, he played really well when he came on. I think he got 2 assists even, and you know, the finish from El Arabi for that goal in the top left corner was set.
Yeah, he certainly did get the two assists for the two goal number 3 and goal number 4. So more the merrier.
Yeah.
Let's see how we are progressing in the Champions League this week, so we can something to talk about next week. All right, guys, we'll move on, and I think we'll let Anthony and Nick take this one. Ofi, Panathinaikos, 2-0. Nick, take it from there, brother.
Where do you begin?
I'll let you take it, mate.
I'm going to start, because if I start, I won't stop. It'll get ugly.
we'll have to mute you if it starts. Look, do you think that we'll start from the start. You and Anthony, the sackings needed to happen, the coach and the technical director.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, maybe the coach was sacked a little bit early. Maybe he needed a couple more games. Who knows? But the technical director definitely needed to leave.
Do you think that they go hand in hand, though? Because the technical director picked the coach.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now, take away the ownership. We won't even go down that slippery slope with the owner of the club, because our computers will blow up if we go that way with Nickel. So we'll leave that. Look, I think from the outside looking in, I think your squad is decent. It's hard to tell with a lot of these journeyman Spaniards that were purchased, but
yeah,
I think
you know my stance. I'd rather the great kids any day of the week.
Yeah, because we've lost. You know, in the coefficient points, we've gone down. You know, top four, top five is going to struggle for us now. So I think, you know, you really need to push a top three spot. Yeah, Anthony.
I mean, you know, like looking at the game, the performance, even though they got a 2-2 draw with Olfi and like the last minute with Makeda scoring, the performance was a little bit better compared to the other games. If I'm being honest with you guys, I don't know if this Panathinaikos side can finish in the top five. I don't know if they can get a European spot.
Well, I think that's what you're pushing for. I definitely think you'll be finishing the top six. I mean, we can make our predictions maybe next week on how we think the top six is going to finish up. You definitely need to make the top six. Otherwise, you're starting again, I think. Yes, Stephen.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly jump on that. You know, I think like you guys have said, there's some great youth in Panathinaikos, and like I think what the club need to do is to bring the right foreign players in or the right veteran players in to help nurture them and help teach them, because then that's how you'll create a better team and have a better blend of having experience and players going into their prime and younger players. And right now, it just seems as though they've got the young players, but then the investment in foreign players is hit or miss. You know, I think Federico Makeda up top he's still kicking. You know, like he's still doing bits for Panathinaikos even at his age. And I think Panathinaikos hopefully will finish top six. We want to see the big Greek teams in Europe, and you know, he's hoping they can make it the playoffs this season.
Can I play the devil's advocate here for a bit? Are we not giving Olfi the credit they deserve? They've had a good preseason. They finished. I mean, they didn't. You know, whatever you want to say about Europe, them as well. They finished off the season recruiting. Sorry, they recruited well at the start of this season. They got a good young coach. Greg, go for it.
Look, I don't know if I jinx Olfi every time, but every time I say something great about him, they the next week they're terrible. But I've watched them carefully. They have been pretty ordinary. But in this game against Panathinaikos, they were quite good. They were quite unlucky not to get the win with Makeda getting the goal right at the end. But definitely one of their better games was this game. They've had a couple of good recruits come through from Holland. So very interested to see how Olfi progresses in the next few games, and if they can keep the form up that they did, like they did in this game. When I went over the round, this game and the Volos game were probably the two most impressive games in terms of great football, open football, chance after chance. So keep an eye on Olfi, and very keen to see what they do over the next few weeks and if they can continue this form.
Yeah, perfect.
Just before we let this game go, just two things, maybe for Andoni. Our lineup, Panathinaikos, the centre back situation, and up front, the strikers. We did so well last season at a stage they kept five clean sheets in a row, Bunguras and Schenkenveld. Velez has now come in. Surely Bunguras has to get back in. And Carlitos was signed to be the main man up front.
Yeah, Andoni, yeah.
That's the problem. We got in Velez, and I thought he was going to be pretty good. But last year, Bart, Schenkenveld, and Bunguras were a way better center-back partnership. Velez was exposed so many times in that Olfi game. And the situation with striker, I have to give it to Makeda. Normally, I'm a big critic of his, but he did pretty good against Olfi. But Carlitos was dubbed to be the starting striker. He's supposed to be our star guy, and now he's been playing out of position as a number 10. So I don't know if that's what's led to the situations at the club, but it's really disorganized now.
I guess we'll see. You've got the new coaches come in. He'll obviously stamp his authority, so you could see a completely different squad of who knows what was thinking. So it's a shame. You know, people, regardless of my affiliation with Olympiacos, I do want Panathinaikos to do well because, you know, they're one of the bigger clubs in Greece. Well, you know, one of the biggest clubs are in Greece. And we need our big clubs to do well. We need to push on from there. All right, let's move on to the next game. This breaks one of Hellas Football's writers and bloggers' hearts. Larissa went down to Asteras 3-1 at home. Michael will probably pull in every bit of hair out of his head. He's not a diehard fan, but his team's not not – what's the word, I guess? I think – for a club of their size and stature, they should be doing much better than what they are. Stephen, go for it.
Larissa are in a very perilous position right now, I think. They're second or third bottom from the league right now. And yeah, they need to try get points somewhere. They need to change something up because they are in danger this season, I think. Still a lot of the season to go. They still have the playoffs to maybe the play-in tournament to try and maybe salvage something and stay up. But yeah, right now they could go down, and I don't want to see Larissa go down because they do have a lot of great history in the league, and you know there's always that title that they won in 1987, and it's just it would be a real shame to see another big club like Larissa go down.
Yeah, Greg, you had something as well, mate.
Look, it'd be interesting to see fans come back. When I was watching Larissa Asteras, it was a reminder that Larissa has gone back to their old stadium, Alcazar, and they've left the Larissa Arena, which the AL Arena, which is a beautiful stadium. For whatever reason, they can't keep the field on that place trimmed well. But you know, unbelievable that you know if they do have a horrible season and go down, how much more steps backwards can a club take from a modern stadium to their older stadium, if fans come back, that might make a difference there because it's close to the playing field.
Yeah, it's a very tight stadium. Yeah, you're right.
It is, yeah. And look, they were a little bit unlucky against Asteras, so they had some good chances. It was good to see Platelas back in Greece doing pretty good, but Asteras was just too good on the break and they were so much more clinical with their striker, Barales, who scored some nice goals. But look, for what it's a little bit of hope for them, they did create a fair few chances. They just couldn't convert them. It would be interesting to see once fans are allowed back into the stadium if they can give them a lift at the new stadium, let's say.
They had 7 shots on target, so and 5 off target. So, they're pushing, so maybe they need that element of luck. Right, we'll move on. The big derby kick off the derby was a highlight of this round. AEK 1, BALK 1. Greg, go for it.
Look, from an AEK perspective, it was a pretty disappointing performance. We did not expect to, I called it chasing BALK players all game, which is what we did. We had one opportunity that came about through new signing Tankovic, who set up Ansarifa to score a beautiful goal and open the scoring against the run of play. But the rest of the game was just BALK attacking us and putting pressure on us. So it was definitely not what any of us AEK fans were expecting. We came away with a draw. We were unlucky not to actually win the game somehow. BALK had a goal from Zolis that was ruled off thanks to VAR for a handball, which I thought was, I have to admit, was a pretty rough call against BALK. So they potentially could have won the game if that goal had counted. So for BALK, from the side of things from BALK, I think they would be quite happy. They dominated us all game, just lucky not to put away their chances. Our defense scrambled and did well all game. But from an AEK perspective, I'm hoping we saved ourselves for the game against Braga in the Europa League because I am never happy with any type of, even though we got a draw, to see AEK play like that so horribly and not be able to put a pass together and just chase BALK shadows our game. That was extremely disappointing. So I really want to see the team bounce back. We had a few players out, fair enough, but we should still be able to play football. We've got decent depth, and that was not good enough at all.
Yeah, look, before we go to Stephen, an observation that I actually made when I looked at the team is one Greek in the starting lineup. Now, I know you've got injuries and players were out, but usually AEK are the ones, one of the top teams that have a good good number of Greeks in it. So, it is what it is. I mean, you know. But, yeah, it was just one of those observations that I made with regards to the squad. And even with the substitutions that came on, there was only two of the subs out of the five, or out of the six, sorry, were Greek players coming on. So, I mean, as I said, it's early days. It doesn't mean anything.
A little bit unlucky as well. We had Christos Albanis come on, who is a player that I rate highly. And unfortunately, he just came back from an injury. He injured himself again about 5 minutes in. So that was a bit unlucky. Yeah.
Stephen, some quickly, mate.
Just wanted to quickly say I'm very jealous of Greg that he has Ansari Fard in his team because Hassan has his critics at Olympiakos, and I'm not one of his biggest critics. I know he has his faults and I know he has his limits and he does score. But I would still take Ansari Fard over Hassan. Ansari Fard was a consistent goal scorer for us, and he would be great in our squad if we could have re-signed him at any point.
Yeah, it was one of those weird players that kind of left at the time, and I'm thinking, but anyway, that's football. Anyone want to jump in for Falk? Say anything for them, or do we move on? They've gone through their changes as well with the squad. They've sold some players recently, so they're bringing in a couple of young Greek guys, getting runs. Their big-name striker, Antoni, go for it.
Yeah, and recently, today, they just lost Josip Mišić, so that's another blow for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the coaching situation is, talking to PAOK fans, you know, some of them are upset with his selections, his tactics, formations, everything with that, so I don't know. Come Christmas time, are we going to see Ferreira still as the coach? That's the question for me.
Oh, look, a lot of fans have been asking, thinking that he's going to go and he hasn't. So I dare say that this European campaign will determine what they do. Steve?
I was literally going to say the same thing, George. I think it's going to come down to how they do in the Europa League. And, you know, just to quickly jump on that, they're in a group that they could potentially finish second in, but anything less than second, I think he could go.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Last but not least, Lamia Panathinaikos nil-all. Who wants to jump on this one? Nothing really much.
I think Nick wanted to say something about this game.
Yep, go for it, mate.
Did you have something to say, Nick?
Just about bulk before. That's all.
Oh yeah, go for it. Yeah.
How do you think you guys will go? They'll go in their Europa League group. It looks decent on paper for them. I mean, Granada might pose a bit of a test, but we saw what Olympiakos did to Omonia. There's no reason Balk can't dispatch them.
Balk on their day will beat anyone, and on their day will lose to anyone. And especially in Europe, that is. I think they're a harder team to try to figure out in Europe than Olympiakos have been lately. So, yeah. good luck. Good luck.
Anywhere from first to fourth.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, did you have something or?
Look, I was just going to say, like, similar to your point, the game against SAEK, they were fabulous. I saw them in the game away in Russia for the Champions League qualifying. They were excellent. Then I watched them in their home return game. They were horrible. So, such an inconsistent team. But, when they play to their best, they can be extremely good. So, it's a game of consistency for them.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right, we'll go back to the last game, guys, the nil or draw. Anyone want to speak up about that game? No, we'll move on.
Not so much about the game itself, just again, Lamia is another team that is in very perilous circumstances. You know, they're bottom of the table, I do believe, and they're winless. Yep. Panathinaikos is a like, you know, they're not, I wouldn't say that Panathinaikos are a mainstay in the Greek Super League, but that's still a game either side should have still got points from, but to come away with a draw, I think either side needed to win that, to be honest.
You look at the Lamia squad, and they've got Vintra, Skondras, Karamanos, so that, you know, they've got some, maybe these players have gone past their use by date, who knows.
I'd say Vintra has.
Oh, well, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Vintra, whoa.
he's been going on. Anyway, well, we'll see how that. Funny, I speak to my dad, and he's actually got, for whatever reason, a soft spot for them. Go figure. So we'll see how they go on. All right, well, we've wrapped up the league, guys. So, table as it stands, Ardis is on top with Olympiacos second, Volos third, Falk fourth, AEK fifth, Astera sixth, and then with the bottom half of the table, Ofi seventh, Atromitos eighth, Apollon nine, Panetolikos 10th, Yanina 11th, 12th is Panathinaikos, Larissa is 13th, and Lamia is dead last 14th. Anyone want to add to that? No, we'll move on. All right. Usually now, guys, we talk about the Football League, or sorry, the Super League 2 or the Football League, but as is the case every year and every year, on the 11th hour, they postpone the league because the money's not right. So as it stands, it's been postponed for another week or two. I've lost count when it's even going to start. I think November, early November, it's going to start. Yeah, Greg?
I just think this is an example of something I've been saying. I've been saying this is the worst Greek Football Federation I have seen in the many years that I've been following Greek football. And I think this sums up a little bit how they've been forming under Gramenos, the president of the Greek Football Federation. To have a league like this getting starting for the last, I think it's been the last 5 years, starting late October, November is just ridiculous. And to see this happening every single year is just unbelievable. So I think that sums up people. It's absolutely laughable, yeah.
Every year, you know it's going to just go on and you think it's going to start. But look, let's hope. Yeah, who knows? Stephen?
Yeah, this, I completely agree with Greg. Like, where do they think that the infrastructure is going to be if you can't begin any of the leagues below the Super League? Like, the Super League is, you know, obviously the first division. It's an important part of Greek football. But the rest of Greek football is nothing without the lower leagues, and they need to start and they need to prioritize them and invest in them. And yeah, I just think it's such bad mismanagement from them to like just not really give a toss about the you know, the Super League 2, the Gamma Ethniki and the lower local
leagues. My biggest issue here is why can't they just do a 2-year deal, a 3-year TV deal or something? You know, when they restructured all these leagues and they just offer whim, oh, no, we want this or no, there's no, I don't even know what. Yes, they've got.
It just seems like they restructured the leagues just to show they're doing something with it rather than actually doing anything with it.
Does it mean anything? As it stands, probably not. It's just
probably not.
No. Anyway, we'll move on. Ethniki or mother news? Who wants to take this one? I'll start. Manolas recently came out. I think he hasn't spoken. I don't know. I forget the last time he actually said something about the ethnic girl mother, but it was questioned and he came out and he gave some very sharp answers. One of them being that he was disappointed that his friend Siovas was removed from the squad. And the point that he made was if 11 players had asked about myself and Sokratis, you know, would they have all gone and kicked out from the team? And the other point that he made was that he's only spoken to John Van Schip once early on in his piece when the coach said to him that he's going to give them a break because he wants to try some other players. Now, according to Kostas Manolas, that was the last time he's heard from him. Where do we begin with this one, guys? Yeah, Greg.
Look, I think I know Manolas has his critics. And last year I was very, very excited to see what John Van Schip was doing. But as time has gone on and looking at some of the centre-back pairings that we're starting to see for the Ethniki and just some of the trends of late where we're bringing in some, I think, third-rate players, when you have the opportunity to have Manolas, Siovas, Hadzidiakos, for example, as centre-back options, and we're now looking at Zvarnas, Tzavelas, Stafilidis options. Mate, this is a huge contrast in, you know, the options that are available to what we're using is huge. And being a manager and a leader in my personal life, I think John Van Schip needs to take a little bit more needs to step up a little bit more in regards to this and have conversations with people. A great manager doesn't just kick people out. That's not being a great manager. You should be able to manage the situation, have a chat with Manolas, have a chat with Silva. I think, okay, Silva said what he said, but I don't think that's, for me personally as a manager, I didn't think that was grounds to tell the guy, and not even tell it on a press conference that he will no longer be on the team. So for me, that's where I stand. I think John Van Schip needs to stand up a bit more. And if you're a manager, have these conversations and get these great players into our team. Change their attitude. You can change attitudes with having the right conversation and make it happen. Become a great team again, not having a fourth-rate defensive lineup that I'm seeing at the moment, which for me just doesn't sit well.
All right, Nico, you got something? Yes.
Yeah, Manolas is clearly the elephant in the room here. You've been saying yourself, George, that JVS, he has to sit down, have a chat, have the hard chats. If you have yes or no, go one way or another. Don't just keep him in the lurch. But just a quick point. If we were winning and dominant, would we be talking about this?
I think so. Still, yeah.
You still think so?
Because we're not playing big nations.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna. Yeah. So it's hard to talk. The defense is barely put under pressure.
We played in my recent blog when I looked at the rankings. I mean, it was a friendly against Austria. Fair enough. But we lost. And Austria aren't a big nation, but we lost. Now, it's a friendly, but friendlies cut both ways. It was a friendly for them as well. So, anyway, we'll go through. Everyone wants to have a chat here. Stephen, go for it, mate.
With Manolas, I think Nick has a point. I think if we were playing well and there was no real problems, I think we may talk about him because we'd probably say, oh, he should still be included, you know, even though the team's playing well. But the fact is that we're not. I don't think Manolas is going to fix everything with the national team if he comes in, but he'll certainly be like such a big morale boost to have. Like, if you're like Svanas and you have Kostas Manolas next to you, who's pretty much the best Greek player we have as an option right now, it's just such a big boost for everyone, and especially once we play the big teams, he's going to be vital.
Well, he's the type of player that John Van Schip would love. Like, he plays with his feet. He's a smart, technical player. He's not, you know, with all due respect to Socrates, just a smash and grab kind of guy. I don't know. Anthony, go for it, mate.
I mean, both you and Stephen hit the nail on the head. I mean, what are we going to do when we start playing higher opposition, for example? I mean, we played Moldova and Kosovo, and we may not have struggled that bad on the defensive end, but when we start playing against better teams, you're going to need the best player, you know, available, and Manolas is our best defender. Yeah. I really think that, you know, the manager is going to have to set his differences aside and try to fix things with Manolas, which I don't even know if they even got into a spat or what, because he just excluded him from the team and never really told him anything. According
to remember that cryptic post that Socrates put up Instagram a while back, stating, you know, he goes, I'm out of the team, just as it's my decision as much as it's the coach's. So I dare say maybe that there's definitely more to it. We're not getting the full story, but I mean, I'll give my opinion later, what I think. Yeah, it's just a crazy cluster here. Greg, you got something, mate?
Just to Nick's question about if we were winning these games, would we be talking about it? I think it depends on the fan. Obviously, we see all types of fans that comment on certain things on different social media platforms. But if you know these players quite well, and I can tell you as an AEK fan, I know Zvardanas quite well. When I'm seeing a player like Zvardanas be a starting certain starter for the Ethniki, and knowing the quality of Manolas, to what Siobhan said, that's what it doesn't sit well with me. And I think to your, you know, we've all mentioned the fact that look at the teams that we're playing, and then we played an Austria team that had a fair few players out, which had some quality to them. And we saw the, you know, Zavellas and Mikhailidis, I think it was, getting caught out. But when we start playing decent opposition, we will get caught out with the level of talent that we're playing with at the moment at the back. So we might not be seeing a lot of it at the moment. And we've got a different topic in regards to, I think on the other side of things, you know, we're creating a lot of chances. We need to start finishing them, which could make this whole topic go away a little bit. But comparing the talent of what's being used now.
Yeah. trying to go, Nico. No, that's what, yeah, when I said if we're winning, if we're, yeah, more dominant up the other end of the pitch, like, you look at the possession stats, the last two Nations League games, like, our defence was barely put under any pressure. And the one time they were, they crumbled, they conceded that penalty against the Moldova late on.
I just think it's an easy thing to do. I mean, if you want to, as a coach, first things first, you don't make these announcements on national TV, okay?
Yeah.
The way Greek football is, you know, he made the announcement on Savidis' TV channel. Look, it means absolutely nothing to 90% of people, but those 10% of people say, you know what, he's a puppet to this guy. Why is he doing it on his channel, et cetera, et cetera? And then that starts another thing. If you're going to make these announcements that you make them through the Ethnic Your Mother channels, because you take away...
George, can I raise something to that? Yeah. Was that not on Open TV, which is the broadcaster for the Greek national team?
Was it?
I know I hear a lot of people talking about this, that it was on a bulk channel or Savidis' own channel, but it was on Open TV and it was an Ethniki press conference. So, look, I think he can say what he wants, regardless of being on bulk. But to your point, don't say something about Siovas on national television.
I just think
I think the bigger point is that is a player is going to be excluded because of a comment he made. Have that conversation with the player first. You know, what's going to happen in the future if someone says something that he doesn't like? Is he going to go to a press conference that they're now out of the team?
He made the announcement on what's the show called? There was like a variety football show. No, it was a football show, and it's a very popular one as well. So I'm playing the devil's advocate here, because what you're seeing is a lot of fans thinking, okay, well, he's excluded Siovas. He's not playing Manolas. He's got a thing for Fortunis, and then they're putting it all together and they're saying, well, what's the common denominator? Now, is it true? Probably not. But you want to eliminate any type of bias, because it's Greek football and everyone knows what Greek football is about. And you get owners coming out and saying crazy things like Kugias did the other day. And you need to eliminate that, where you're saying no and you follow proper procedure. I think, look, me personally, I think John Van Schip doesn't have the ability, well, hasn't shown us, sorry, the ability to be able to deal with big name players. I think he prefers yes men in the team. And that's just me from looking at it from the outside in. I think anyone with flair, Tefadzidis, for instance, we'd love to have him in the team. Yeah, Stephen.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a solidified team with no real individual stars and no individual presences that could maybe carry a game for you. But at the same time, the more players you eliminate from that possibility of joining the national team, the thinner the squad gets. And the options, the quality goes down in terms of the options that we have. And then eventually we're going to have no one if he keeps just... Somebody says one thing out of line and then he gets rid of them. They don't play for the Ethniki anymore. Who are we gonna play? Who are we gonna play in any position if one person makes the wrong move, you know?
Anthony.
Yes.
Yes, you've been sitting there quietly thinking.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you guys have all been making some great points, and like to what Stephen was saying, I was just thinking to myself, the Ethniki doesn't really have the same, you know, abundance of talent that let's say, you know, Germany or Spain has. So if Van Schip is going to keep excluding players left and right, and he's doing it for petty reasons, I don't really think that this is going to be something that's going to work out in the long run.
Yeah.
It's a short-term solution.
Yeah. Look, I, you know, and people use the example with Otto Rehhagel back in the day. Now, back in the day, yeah, we won it in 04 and that happened before that, but we had some big name players back then. We had clubs playing Champions League football week, you know, year on year out. We had our clubs were all thriving. Bathnacles had such a great squad, and they put a lot of those players into the team. So yeah, you can say he eliminated some players from that squad at the time, but we had a lot of, you know, that team would wipe the floor with whatever we've put out ever since. Yeah, Greg.
A couple of things I just wanted to quickly mention. First of all, like you mentioned, the squad level compared from yesteryear to now, a huge difference. However, I feel John Van Schip has actually made life a little bit more difficult for himself. He, you know, the fact that he's got us creating so many chances to the point where we're now pulling our hair out because we're missing all these opportunities. I don't know why he's making his life more difficult. You got the team who not long ago was horrible to watch. We, you know, it was a nightmare to get up and watch, especially for us Greek Australians here, to wake up at silly hours and watch a team who couldn't pull, you know, a few passes together. We're now actually creating so many chances and pulling a hair out because we can't actually put them away. Just madness to be, you know, say no to certain players, even if that's it. So I think at the moment, might be able to help us with this creating and goal scoring situation we're in. He's done the hard part, but he's now making his life a little bit difficult because of his stubbornness and, you know, the whole studying Bakasetas and Manolas or Mandalos all the time. And I'm a player, I'm a guy who loves Mandalos. But you could see after the Moldova game, you needed to change things up for the next game against Kosovo. And he went and played the exact same 11, which struggled against Moldova. Don't understand. But then again, you got to put some accountability on the players who missed some pretty big opportunities to get that crucial goal.
Yeah, that's it. Nico?
Yeah, I think Greg was onto something there. I think for me, the big takeaway from the last couple of games was I think our deficiencies are up the other end at the moment, up front, the finishing.
They are, but do you think that's because we're playing lesser nations that aren't really pressing us?
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I mean, you can only do what you can do in front of, like, you can only play who you're playing. So, interesting. Antoni?
You know, also the other thing I wanted to say, just quickly, you touched on it yourself, George, a strong Panathinaikos, I say this without no bias, a strong Panathinaikos, generally speaking, it leads to a strong ethnic year. You look at that 2004 side, the Euro side, a good chunk of them, that core were Panathinaikos.
Without a doubt. I remember years ago, I interviewed Chris Kalantzis for us, and he said it. He goes, the difference between playing for Olympiakos and Panathinaikos is Panathinaikos want to bring Greek youth up. He goes, it's always been their thing. Olympiakos want the best, expect the best. And he goes, you know that when you're at the two different clubs, how they work is going, now there's no right or wrong there, but you could see the way he spoke then. And he's, you know, played for both clubs and had success at both clubs. So you can tell that, a strong Panathinaikos generally means a strong ethnic or mother. Antonis, you had something to say, bud?
I wanted to draw back to what we were saying, the struggles up top. Like, we have a player, Fundas, he's playing in Austria. And he's our top striker. He's our top forward, and he leaves him on the bench or he starts him on the left. Or, you know, I'm just not understanding his squad selections.
Well, I think if you look at it, Fontas plays in a different formation to what Van Schip plays, and he doesn't want to change it. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Steve?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? There are things that Van Schip has done that I could say is good. I think we are playing better football than before he came. We are creating more chances. We do look more exciting to a certain extent, and I think that he needs to take more risks with the starting 11. I think the risks he is taking isn't paying off entirely. You know, play Zolis, play Fundas, play Fortunis. You know, if something isn't working, play, like, just try it. You know, I think the, like you said, the biggest problem we've had is goal scoring. Bavlidis, great player. I love Gouloris as well. Like, I just remember when he was at Dromidos and he was scoring goals for fun, and obviously now his career is kind of going on a downward spiral, but he's still an important player for the Ethniki. I just think John Van Schip needs to take more risks.
I think the other topic was, I guess, the constant noise about Fortunis. Look, I think we can talk about this all day, so we'll kind of wrap it up a little bit here, but I think we can't, It'd be suicide to sack the coach now. I think it'd be crazy. We shouldn't do that. We should win this group. I think that's the maximum, that's the minimum requirement. And then it'll be judged on the qualification to the next World Cup. Yeah, Nico.
The big game's going to be next month, obviously. Well, provided we get past Moldova, it's going to be Slovenia and us fighting it out in Greece at home in match day six. I think, as I said to you last month, we're going to have to judge him ultimately in November after this Nations League format.
Yeah, Steve.
And don't forget, Greece also plays Cyprus in a friendly at some point, so I'll be watching and being very confused as to which side I will be supporting. So that'll be fun to see as well.
It'll be good. It'll be good. I love when we play, when Greece plays Cyprus and the national anthem, and they're all just, it's tingles, sends tingles through me, man.
One national anthem.
Well, yes, exactly. That's we're all very patriotic here, so. Anyone want to wrap anything up with the ethnic ill mother? No? All right, well, we'll move on. Look, guys, we've pretty much wrapped everything up for our first episode. The one last thing that I wanted to bring up is we want to get social media engagement. Otherwise, we've got a great base. We've got Greeks all over the world that support our Hellas Football social media pages, and we love that. We love it all. We won't take it for granted, that's for sure. But what we've done is we've created a hashtag, hashtag Hellas Footy Pod, one word. If you've got something to say about a match, about your team, about anything, about a topic you want us to bring up, use that hashtag. Shoot us something, and we'll talk about it, and we'll introduce you to the show as well. So we want to get as much engagement as through our social media accounts. So the more the merrier. As we're going to wrap things up, guys, anything, Steve? You got anything to say, mate?
Yeah, I have breaking news actually from Twitter. Apparently, a Greek Prime Minister Mitsotakis has come out and said that there will be no fans allowed to attend the European games for Greek teams and the Super League. They've gone back on their decision, apparently.
Is that official, or is that just me?
From what's being said, apparently.
There you go. Left hand doesn't talk to the right.
Exactly.
There's, Anyway, there you go. What a bummer. Look, guys. Steve.
Yeah, I will say this though. That is a big blow for all Greek teams. In Europe. Having fans at home or is such a big part of like the atmosphere that teams come to play us again when they play against us in Europe. And either way, no fans. I hope every Greek team this week does well with Olympiakos in the Champions League. That's a must win against Marseille, and then Ike against Braga, that's a winnable game for Ike, considering the teams that they beat to get to the Europa League. And Balk, Omonia, they need to take notes from how Olympiakos played against them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think Balk can definitely win that, especially in Thessaloniki as well. But yeah, best of luck to everyone.
Yeah, look, best of luck. And we'll wrap up all the games in our next episode as well. Definitely big talking points for them going forward. Guys, we're done. First show. How do you reckon we went?
That was great.
Quick.
Yeah.
Solid. Well done.
Yeah. Look, it's we've gone for just under an hour, so I think depends if we talk longer, shorter, whatever it needs to be. I think it's gone good. As I said, everyone, look, please use that hashtag. Get in contact with us. We'd love to hear. We'll share whatever you have to say. Greek fans, we're a passionate bunch. We argue, we call each other stuff, but ultimately that's who we are. So, All right, guys. Greg, Nick, Stephen, Antoni, lovely talking to you. Antoni, it's what's the time now? 2 a.m.?
Just about.
All right, mate. I hope you sleep well, bud.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, look, awesome speaking to you. That's the wrap for our first show. I hope you liked it all. Please leave us some feedback. Please engage with us. Thanks for that. See you all. Bye.